Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Union Congregational Church. For those of you who have gathered here in the sanctuary, and for those of you who are watching online with us this morning, we are glad to have you with us. I'm Reverend Randy, and I am a retired pastor in the United Church of Christ. I last served over in Sheboygan Falls at Sarin United Church of Christ, and live over in that direction. But I've been here in your church many times. When I was a student at Lakeland University's Master's of Theology program, we had several of our classes here down in one of your rooms, and your hospitality was always so warmly welcome to those of us. We didn't have to travel as far for classes. And then the last time I stood in this pulpit was for Reverend Robert Sherwood's installation service. I preached at that service, and so it has been a long time, and there are many changes and adaptations you've made here, and it's wonderful to see all of that. So thank you for welcoming me here again this morning. I noticed announcements scrolling, and boy, I'm reminded of the busyness of this time of the church year. So Alana, you have some things that you would like to share.
First off, bell ringing. I have a few time slots left available. Friday 1 to 3, and then 3 to 5, and then Saturday 3 to 5. It's preferable, good to have about two people at each time slot. It just kind of makes it go quicker. And then also, donation cutoff is the 29th of December. So any last minute donations, please get them in by that date or before. Decorating for Christmas is coming up next week, Saturday the 29th. Please come. Everybody is welcome.
And then one additional announcement. Instead of talking as a member of the congregation, I'm talking as the pastor of the Christian home. The confirmands went there this last week. How many kids did you have?
Five
of them. And I had a woman stop by the other day, grinning from ear to ear. She looked and said, "You do the UCC church, right?" I went, "Yeah." "Oh, that was so wonderful, those kids that came. They talked to us. They were interested. Who would be interested in an old lady?" And they were so interesting. They asked us questions. "John, I can't stop smiling. I woke up at 3 a.m. and I was still smiling." Those are just wonderful kids. You've got to tell them that. And the one supervisor, or the one advisor, my brother even taught her in school. It was so wonderful. So thank you all for doing that and being gracious to our elders.
Are there other announcements anyone would like to make? If not, I invite you to share a sign of peace with one another, and then we will begin our worship this morning.
In this present time, no matter what passes before us,
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
As earth shakes and nations are in an uproar,
God is present with us and is our refuge in times of trouble.
As the world trembles in fear and worry, join me in our opening prayer. Holy Redeemer, in the dusk of this liturgical year, we recall the beauty of our days together, the blessedness of Christmas love, in the light of Epiphany, move us to bring illumination to our neighbors. The hope of Easter and strength of Pentecost inspire us to bring in the news of God's love to this world. All of this is to create God's realm here on earth, where we are following the steps of Christ, knowing the endurance of the Holy Spirit abides with us today and always. Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing our opening hymn, 106, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Today, you can join me on the steps. We have some new ones today. Charlie and Z are going to join us. Jordan was one of our confirmation students years ago. She's slightly older, I think, than my kids. Come on up. This is Charlie. Say hi, Charlie. Can you wave to everybody? Can you wave to them? And this is Z. And they are Jordan's children. I think Jordan's grandma was Jill. That might bring some light to who we have up here today. How are you guys? Oh, I forgot my note card, so I'm going to do this from the top of my head. That's scary, you guys. Sometimes I talk too much when I do this from the top of my head. All right. I thought it would be good to talk about this giving tree. Do any of you, have you heard that story, Zee?
Yes.
Yep, you've heard the story of the giving tree, right? Have you guys heard it? It's kind of more an upper elementary. I think it's like a fourth and fifth grade book, maybe? Third?
Mostly third grade.
Third grade? Thank you for helping me with that. Well, yeah, this giving tree, it keeps giving to this little boy. First, I think it gives it, like, fruit. Yeah, and then it provides shade. And then it provides branches for a campfire or something to keep warm, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And it keeps giving and giving and giving. And finally, there's nothing left to give. So this tree thinks it can't give anymore. All that's left of this tree is a stump. But even then, what does the boy do with that stump, do you think? What do you think he does?
Anything? Can you think of it?
I think he chops it.
You think he chops it? No, he chopped down the tree, but he left the stump. He uses it as a stool to sit on. So even when the tree couldn't give any more, it was still gave him a place of rest and sit. Well, now we have this giving tree at church. We call it a giving tree, and it's a little similar to that. All right, the confirmation students, that's their project. They're going to set up a little Christmas tree in the fellowship hall after church. And we put all these tags on the tree. And we partner with a group called Reach Waupun from our school district. And we put tags on the tree with a need and a want. So for instance, it might say, 5-year-old boy needs pajamas size 5 or 6. And then on the back side, it might give a want. This 5-year-old boy might like Legos. You like Legos too, all right, see? All right. And then the congregation kind of helps us out. They go to the back tree, and they take tags off the tree, and they go shopping for these kids and get some of their needs and some of their wants. Okay? And we're going to try to get this set up after church today during fellowship hour. The big kids are going to do that part, okay? Yeah. And, yeah, you're a big kid now. And it's all about, it is better to give than to receive. And that's my theme for today. All right. I'm going to ask you to I'm not good at this part. Jacob does this part for me always. All right, but I didn't. So let's do this. Let's fold our hands, and you guys repeat after me. Dear Lord, please help me to be generous. As we look for tags on our giving tree. Amen. All right, now you guys can come back to Sunday school with me. How does that sound?
Today's scriptures first comes from Colossians 1, 11 to 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he may come and have first place in everything. For in him all fulfillment of God is pleased to dwell, and through him God has pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Our second reading is from Luke 2:23-43. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him and saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself. If he is the Messiah of God, he is the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanging there kept deriding him by saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
First off, I have to say, I really wish I had an Elsa dress like that with the train out the back. It was beautiful and wonderful, and I want one. Rory, that's what I want for Christmas. Please pray with me. Oh God, you have called us into this place, your people,
to hear your word, to act upon it. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you this day. Amen. So this is the last Sunday in the liturgical year. The church calendar is different from the calendars we all have hanging on our walls.
We have another, month and a half before a new year starts. In the church, it starts next Sunday with the season of Advent. We've come a full circle from hearing Mary's song about what this child she is carrying will be to the world when he is born, to the time of Jesus on the cross, his earthly life ending. You know, hearing that passage from Luke this morning must have been a little jolting. You know, that doesn't belong here, right? That belongs on Good Friday when we hear the story of Jesus on the cross, not on this last Sunday of the church year, on this Sunday before we're going to be gathering with our family and our friends to celebrate Thanksgiving. What is it doing here on this Sunday? Well, traditionally in the church, this Sunday was called Christ the King Sunday. And if you listened closely, I mean, I didn't count, but how many times the word king was used in that passage, which maybe is why it was chosen by the lectionary people for today. But Christ the King Sunday was what was celebrated at one time. Over the years, that has been changed to the reign of Christ Sunday. I think part of it comes from the idea that, you know, we didn't know a whole lot about kings, really, or that wasn't a part of our experience overall, right? We don't have kings in our country. We hear about kings in books, or maybe there's kings in other countries, but, you know, we're not all up on that. Well, maybe you are. I have friends who follow the royal family in England like they were relatives of theirs, but for the most part, you know, we hear about kings and, you know, they're just ruling over these people and they're taking their land and they're doing all kinds of things, and that just didn't fit into our idea of Christ. And so Christ the King became the reign of Christ Sunday. But I got to thinking about that a little bit this year. Now that I don't preach every Sunday, I don't get to get in that rhythm of building from one Sunday to the next. And I have no idea. I suppose I could have watched your worship services to see what Pastor Jacob has put out there, but I did not do that. But I got thinking about, what does this mean, this reign of Christ? Maybe because of the situation we find ourselves in today, where there's so much disagreement on what or what isn't Christian belief, or what is or isn't proper Christian behavior, or what or how Christians should think and feel, and how that relates to us as citizens of the United States. And there's just so much out there that's confusing, and we don't all agree. And maybe we don't have to agree, but we don't. There's big arguments and about what that means. So in the context of all that, I began to wonder, what would the reign of Christ look like? If we really believed what we pray every Sunday, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, what would that look like? Believe it or not, this passage of the end of Jesus' life on earth is a great place to start thinking about that. Jesus himself never proclaimed he was king. That came from others. But there, as he's on the cross, is a sign. That sign that was in Greek letters, I-N-R-I. Actually, I think it's on my robe here somewhere as well. Jesus, King of the Jews. Now, that sign wasn't put up there because people didn't know that or didn't think that. It was put up there by Pilate, who was an agent of the Roman government, those who were oppressing the people of Jesus' day. And he put it up there not to say, oh, this is really the king. He put it up there as a way of mocking Jesus, of making fun of that whole idea of Jesus being the king of the Jews. He's not sitting on a throne. His throne is the cross. He's not wearing a crown. His crown is one of thorns. And he's there in the midst, in this whole public realm of people. Many have gathered around that day. It was actually in some ways a form of entertainment, if you can not be kind of disgusted by that whole thought, right? The whole idea of crucifixion was public humiliation. It was a way of showing the people, stay in line or this could happen to you, as it was happening to those two criminals that were side by side with Jesus. They had been judged to have done something wrong, and there they were. The King of the Jews. A king? Really? This is not what anyone would have thought a king would be like. Jesus wasn't the kind of king anybody thought he would be. Not his own people, who some thought he would come in with armies and take over and cast out the Romans. Certainly the Romans didn't think this was any kind of king they had ever heard of or understood either. He acted nothing like an earthly king. Here he looks nothing like an earthly king. But he never did, because Jesus didn't show his authority and power with conquering armies and strength. He didn't govern over people, making them do his bidding, or even asking them to show homage to him. Jesus didn't do any of these things. His kingship was countercultural, different than what they thought it should be. Different maybe than what we think it should be as well. And that's really what got him put to death. So in this passage, we begin to see this theme of what the realm of Christ might look like. Nothing that most would imagine. Because you see these two criminals that were there next to Jesus represented those who were often overlooked by those who were in power and by the rest of the people around them, the rest of society. the one criminal. He had been sentenced to die for his crimes. We don't know what those crimes were, but often it wasn't anything we would consider serious in our day and time. But he talks to Jesus and he says, you know, I am guilty of what they said I did. So today, you know, when you get to your kingdom, just remember me. In a way, he's asking for forgiveness, or he's asking not to be overlooked. And you know what? Jesus sees him. He doesn't look past him. He doesn't say, well, too bad for you. No, he offers forgiveness in that moment. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Think about Jesus' life and maybe the stories you remember from hearing in the Bible. Stories that you were taught as children or you hear here on Sunday mornings. Those people that Jesus encountered throughout his life, because that was the ministry of Jesus, moving around all over the place. We can't help but think about those healing stories. There are so many of them. Maybe you have a favorite. But those times when someone's physical body was healed. We think of the lepers who came, lepers who were just so segregated and isolated from the rest of their community because people were so afraid of getting what they had, of it being passed on. Jesus heals them and restores them to community simply because they were no longer lepers. And then there's blind Bartimaeus who sat every day at the side of the road begging. Maybe not begging for people to notice, but begging for people to throw him just a few coins. Jesus restores his sight, so he no longer has to sit by the side of the road. And then those who were possessed by demons, of course, nobody wanted to be around them, and Jesus casts them out. And then there's my favorite. That woman who has been suffering from bleeding for years. She has no one, no community taking care of her. Again, these are things that are foreign to us, but she just reaches out, touching Jesus' robe. And she's healed and restored. And then there's those stories of spiritual healing. Again, that woman who comes to the well just to get water, but that encounter with Jesus changes her life forever. A few weeks ago, the story of Zacchaeus was the gospel lesson. Zacchaeus, who was shunned because he was a tax collector. I mean, maybe that one we can understand a little bit, but nobody wanted anything to do with him. But Jesus says, I'm coming to your house. And his life is changed. Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, comes to Jesus in the darkness of night because he didn't want anyone to know. His life, too, is changed and transformed. Jesus noticed. He didn't overlook. And then, of course, the story of the feeding of the 5,000, taking care of the needs of the people that had gathered. People who were overlooked by everyone else. People who were deemed unworthy of love and care, community and compassion. These are the people that Jesus noticed. These are the people that Jesus helped. Throughout his life, throughout his ministry on earth, he ministered to those who were most vulnerable, to those who had been cast out by others. And their lives were changed. Not because he forced anything on them, not because he said, do this and then I'll heal you, or go here and then I'll feed you. No, he saw them and he cared about them where they were at. And then that transformed their lives. Richard Rohr, who has written many things, he has podcasts, and he's very inspirational. He's a brother in some, I didn't look up the religious order, I am sorry. But he summarizes it this way. Jesus tried to change people by loving and healing them. His harshest words were reserved for those who perpetrated systems of inequality and oppression, and who, through religion itself, thought they were sinless and untouchable. To change people by loving and healing them. That's what the reign of Christ looks like. Jesus' kingdom, God's kingdom, is one of grace and mercy. On the cross, Jesus granted mercy not just to that criminal next to him, but to all of those who were there. Remember when he says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Even those who were hurting him, he offered this mercy and grace. As followers of this King Jesus, we are called to participate in the reign on a daily basis. And that means freedom to speak on behalf of those who are marginalized, to call out injustices that we see, to advocate for those left behind by those who are in power. I saw a meme on Facebook, and it was posted by a Brian Zand, and he summarizes the reign of Christ this way. Enemies, love them. Violence, renounce it. Money, share it. Foreigners, welcome them. Sinners, forgive them. That's the reign of Christ. And so this morning, as we have gathered as a congregation that's a part of the universal church, as participants in the reign of Christ, I ask us to covenant together that we shall not rest until God's reign of righteousness and peace is realized on earth as it is in heaven, that we shall not seek the illusionary comfort of easy answers, but will do the hard work of seeing God's will with each new decision, that we shall not succumb to the false gospel of individualism, but shall pursue shalom, the hope of justice for all God's people, the common good, that we shall not be seduced by the appeal of nationalism, but shall consider ourselves citizens of an order ruled by Christ, to whom belongs all honor and glory, authority and power. This is the reign of Christ, and we are all participants in it. You, me, all the churches in the area. So let us be welcome participants to this reign of love that Christ has called us to. Amen. I invite you to stand. I assume you stand for your hymns. Hymn number 621, For the Healing of the Nations. Please stand.
Thank you.
together our hearts in a time of prayer, and let us take a moment of silence just to orientate ourselves to that quietness of prayer and to think about those whom we would like lifted up in prayer this morning. Let us pray in silence. Are there any joys or concerns you would like to lift up in a time of prayer? Seeing none, we know that God hears those prayers that we hold in our hearts, the names of those we have thought of, the situations in life that bring us grief or bring us joy, bring us concern, and that we want to share with others. We bring them all to God, knowing God hears those prayers. Let us join in prayer. Holy God, you have called us to live in faith and freedom, but we live with tightness in our chest. You have called us to move in a new direction, but we cling to the path we know. You have called us to reach outward in love, but we draw inward for protection. You have called us to live with abandon in trust, but we live carefully in fear. We give this all over to you, God, wanting to be the people you have called us to be, wanting to not overlook those whom others have overlooked, to be a part of your reign here in this place. Give us strength. Give us courage to be the people you have called us to be. We lift up to you all those prayers that are on our hearts, for those people we love and care about who are grieving, for those who are sick, for those who are in the hospital, for those who are recovering, for those who are dying. We pray that your presence surround them, that their needs are met. We pray for those who are celebrating this day, for those who will be joining family during the week, for those who are celebrating birthdays, anniversaries, the birth of a new child in their midst, for those who have committed themselves to one another in love, in marriage, or even engagement. You celebrate with us as well, O God. For all of those who are living in places where they don't know where their next meal is coming from, where they're afraid to walk out their front doors or play outside. Oh God, hear their prayer. And may resources be found and get their way to those folks who so desperately need them. Whether it's by powers beyond their control or weather related, oh God, there are so many who need our care. So may we be the resources you have called us to be. And now as we join our hearts in the prayer, our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught us all to pray, may we really listen to these words, and may they become true for us this day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. What would happen if we were able to set aside our worries and begin to create paradise on earth, here and now? What if we shared just a little extra of our time, talent, and treasures so that others can experience paradise on this side of heaven? When we share our gifts, the universe begins to transform for our neighbors, creation, and ourselves. With joy in our hearts, let us receive this morning's offering. God of all time and space, you call us to transform the world through the extension of your grace to all of creation. May we find new and creative ways to share our treasures, talents, and time in order to create your realm here on earth. May we work to create paradise beginning here today. Amen. And our closing hymn is 561, Christ for the World We Sing. As we transform our universe into God's paradise, may the Spirit of strength give us courage to care for our neighbors. May the Christ of mercy give us peace in each time and space. May our Creator of hope inspire us to love in new ways. Fellow companions on this journey, we are called to build God's realm, creating heaven on earth for all. Go in peace. Amen.
solution.